It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, and welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten in part by AAA Roofing Company and also 21ology.com. Hi, I'm your host, Will Hampton, and hey, let's start with a little basketball. The Pacers, they're home this week. Good chance to go see Pacers, and go to Pacers.com if you're looking for tickets. They're home this week, Thursday, Saturday, and then again next Tuesday, so a chance to make hay at home if they can. They're playing some great basketball. They're third in the East, even without Victor Oladipo, and nobody ever thought that they would survive that injury, but here they are, third in the Eastern Conference playoff chase, 5.5 games behind the Bucks for first place. So congratulations to the Indiana Pacers for what they're doing. It's fun to be a Pacer fan right now. Purdue basketball is also pretty fun. They beat IU last week. They're home Saturday against Ohio State. Matt Painter's really got the Boilermakers playing good basketball. IU, flip-flop it, completely the opposite way. They've lost five straight. They're struggling. And then they host Michigan State Saturday. So it's going to be probably another tough week for the Hoosiers, but let's hope not. Let's hope they can dig out of it. Butler's on the road this weekend. They're at Villanova. And before we stop talking basketball, I want to say just a quick thoughts and prayers to the family of Bob Kirkhoff. A longtime Ron Colley girls basketball coach passed away last week, died Friday. He's in the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, here's a guy, Coach Kirkhoff, from 1981 to 2001, won 324 games as the coach of the girls basketball team at Ron Colley. They won 9 city titles, 8 sectionals, 4 regionals, and 1 semi-state. And I worked with his son, Kevin Kirkhoff, when we were both with the Colts. And his granddaughter, Kelly, played basketball at Marion University and loved to watch Kelly play the game. I think she is now a coach here locally, I think at Speedway High School. But just some prayers with the family, a good St. Jude family. And really do really going to miss just seeing Coach Kirkhoff. I used to run into him every once in a while, and always had that little wry smile on his face. And God love him and his family, and prayers are with the Kirkhoff family as this Friday is the funeral mass for him as we say goodbye to Bob Kirkhoff. And great memories. What a great man. CYO basketball, so much on the CYO courts, and just a good man and good family. So our prayers with the Kirkhoff family. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with this edition of Catholic Sports Weekly.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof and your building investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
Catholic Radio Indy
gives so much hope to those who need it.
It's kind of a bright, shining star in the radio today.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also ElamUSA.com. It's my pleasure to say hi to local golf professional Jim Poole. Jim, good to have you on Catholic Sports Weekly.
Thanks, Will. It's great to be here. Love to talk sports and love to talk Catholicism, so perfect combination.
Yeah, you do. You're a great Catholic at St. Susanna with your family, and you have twin boys who are, juniors at Ron Colley, and you're also their golf coach, right?
That is right, which brings its own challenges.
I bet it does. Hey, before we get into everything that we want to talk about, I just mentioned in the last segment the passing of Bob Kirkhoff, the legendary Ron Colley girls basketball coach, a CYO legend. And I know you know his family, you know his boys, and I worked with Kevin. Just a good family, and it's just sad to see the passing of Bob Kirkhoff, isn't it?
It is terrifically sad, and yeah, what a great family. Knew them all through my years at Marion College, and got to know Bob a little bit back in those days. I went to the family home a few times and followed him in Roncalli sports scene, and just, you know, a sad day for everybody that knew him. But hopefully for him, it's a glorious day as he moves on to a better life.
Yep. God needed a basketball coach, right?
That's right. That's right.
Sure did. Well, your story.
You got a good one.
Yeah, he sure did. Got one of the best. Your story is an interesting one. It's hard to for me to explain it. So you were diagnosed with prostate cancer several years ago now, right? Was it 2011? Am I correct?
Oh, that sounds about right.
Okay.
I'm 53 now. I was diagnosed at age 45.
Okay, so it's been 8 years. Been about eight years. And and it was a very advanced stage. Help our listeners understand what you went through back 8 years ago, and help us, you know, catch us up so we can tell the story.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was not feeling well, and I'd been going to the doctor quite a bit, and they kept treating me with antibiotics, couldn't find out what was wrong. Eventually, they tested my PSA and my prostate and, you know, found out that I had cancer. My PSA was through the roof. I believe, you know, as a normal person gets diagnosed with prostate cancer, a high one might be in, you know, 15, but mine was 1,500. So it was very high. It had moved from my prostate to my bones. It's in my skull. It's in my shoulders. It's in my hips. It's in my rib cage. My spine. So, but I'm fortunate. I mean, medicine and prayer has kept me going.
Well, without question, medicine, but the prayer, your prayer life, did it take on a new journey at that point, or were you always kind of a faith-filled guy?
Well, I've always been pretty big into my Catholic faith. I mean, I went to 16 years of Catholic school, you know, grade school, high school, college. And so it's always been a part of my life, but I had moments where I lapsed. You know, where I was still Catholic, but maybe didn't attend church all the time like I should have. And the thing that changed before that was having kids. And as I started realizing, you know what, I'm not doing the job I should as a Catholic. And so we began to attend Mass, you know, most Sundays. And then as my kids went to Catholic school, you know, one of my kids came home and said, "Dad, you know what one of my goals is?" And this is a kid, and this is the value of Catholic education, by the way. It's not just, you know, what they get themselves or what the parents get. And my son comes home and says, "Dad, one of my goals is I don't want to miss Mass for an entire year." And for me, that was an eye-opener. And I'm like, you know, we're not doing a good enough job. We might make it three-quarters of the time, but if it's inconvenient, maybe we'll miss. But now it's something we do. We travel a lot for golf. When we're on the road, we go. We're not going to miss Mass no matter what the reason. So we find a way to make it every week now because of our kids. I don't take the credit.
Well, when you think about your profession, a golf professional, you're the teaching pro at Prestwick, no excuses, but it's tough. You work on Sundays Saturdays, and that's got to be tough, but it's neat how was it Mark or Luke that came home and said that?
It was Mark.
Mark
came home one day and said that was one of his goals. I asked them to set some goals, and I'm thinking of it as a golf guy and help my kid to become a better golfer. Let's set some goals.
Can you work on this? I got this little slice right now. Can you work on that? What you thought that's what he was going to ask you about, right?
Yeah, that's right. Awesome.
Yeah. How cool is that, though, when you think about it? Obviously, the school had a lot to do with it, but obviously there was a faith core in your family with your wife and the two boys that has been strengthened. And how great is that, that you get that opportunity to see that strengthening in your family?
Well, it is awesome. And we've, you know, I'm lucky because I am surrounded by it. I met my wife while we were married, and she is Catholic as well. And I just felt like, by the way, and it's something that's important to me, I want my kids, they're coming upon their college, you know, choices as juniors. And I'm keep leaning in them towards Catholic universities so that they can meet someone that is of similar background so that they can share their faith together going forward. But I've just been surrounded by it and just lucky. I feel feel like those that aren't are the unlucky ones.
Talk with Jim Poole, golf professional, and I'm not even sure if we say prostate cancer survivor, because you're still in the middle of this battle, right?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think they do refer to it technically as a survivor, even though I do still have it.
Okay.
But I don't like the term survivor just because everybody is surviving something.
Yeah.
Everybody has their crosses to bear and their problems that they have. And I feel terrible when the attention is focused on me, when I know how many other people are suffering more or have issues that might not have the attention-grabbing headline that cancer does.
Yeah. Well, you've been able to go and use it, the platform, though, to get people tested, to get people to work, to understand the symptoms and things like that. That's kind of your platform now, isn't it?
Yeah, I try to do that. I've done speaking, a small amount. I spoke at matter. I was asked to speak at all of our masses one Sunday about 6 months ago or so. But that was once again about Catholic education, which is one of my passions. But then I also spoke at the Indiana High School Golf Coaches Association Hall of Fame dinner and tried to educate people at that event as well.
What do you remember? 8 years ago now. You said you were just having pain and you just kind of felt like you had to go do a little bit more.
Well, yeah, I was not well. I mean, I was trying to stay in shape and I would go work out quite a bit and I would come home and I was so ridiculously exhausted and I didn't know what it was. And so then as I started going to the doctor more and more, the hard part was really when you are diagnosed, because I'm dealing with that pain, but that mental shock, an emotional shock when they tell you that you've got cancer is really pretty powerful. But then you just learn that you have to deal with it just like you deal with everything else in your life.
Yeah. And you have good days and bad days still today, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there are days. Well, as a matter of fact, there was a mistake with my treatment recently. Yeah. And while it's not had a tremendous effect, I got a little more pain in my hip than I would prefer at this moment. But, you know, as a matter of fact, I had to jump out of these meetings and try to make the corrections in my treatment. And I will say this, and this is one thing I tell everybody that's going through any medical issues, whatever, at all, is that you have to be your own best advocate. You can't rely on the doctors and the nurses. They see, I don't know, in a given day, they may see 50 to 100 patients, and they can't keep track of every little detail that you need to be aware of. So it's your job to stay on top of things. The first thing I did was begin to research everything I could about it so that I could be an expert when I went into the meeting to talk to the doctor about it.
Yeah.
And therefore, I have to stay on top of my care because they will forget things that then I have to make sure that we get taken care of.
Tell me a little bit about your faith family at St. Susanna. That's your parish. And how have they and that community helped you and your family through your diagnosis and through your battle with prostate cancer?
You know, it sounds funny, but in a way, I wish everybody could go through it because you realize how many people love you. I mean, when we were at home and I'm sick and the diagnosis is out and everybody's terrible and you have people showing up through the woodworks just to bring you something or to do anything to help you or say they're praying for you. I feel fortunate that I was at Marian, too, because I can't tell you how many nuns reached out and told me that I'm on their prayer list, you know, or things like that that just came up every day. Somebody was approaching me and telling me or finding a way to help me, anything that they could do to make things easier for me. And it's just incredible. It gives you so much faith. And you know, you hear all the bad news every time you turn on the TV, they're reporting something negative, and you just realize how many great people there are in the world when you have something like this that you go through.
Well, a lot of us struggle. I know I do struggle with prayer, trying to, you know, how do you pray? What is a holy hour? I'm doing Exodus 90 now, and there's a lot of things that all of us as Catholics struggle with our faith. But there's something real about the power of prayer, and you've experienced firsthand, haven't you? It gives me goosebumps to think of the power of prayer, and you've experienced it. Tell me what you feel when you feel that power, when you know people are praying for you.
Well, it is. First of all, it's humbling. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, there are a lot of people doing things that are really good for you. But the power of the prayer, we do, Kelly and I both believe, you know, that prayer has made a difference for me and for my outcome. But I will tell you, you know, how to pray. We talked about how to pray. I mean, anybody can do it a million different ways. And praying is simply talking to God. And you can use a prayer that's written, or you can come up with your own words. But one of the things that I always like to pray for, because I do believe in medicine, so I pray for the wisdom of my doctors, right? I pray for patients. I pray for myself to be able to pay attention to all the details. You know, I pray for God to help me make the right choices. You know, those are the things, because there's when you get a diagnosis like this, there are like no real cures. So there are all these different avenues that you could go down. And so you pray to be able to make those right decisions. I'll tell you one story that's kind of interesting, and I won't use the doctor's name. But and prayer may have helped direct me in the right direction.
Probably
but he had recommended a course of treatment for me. And unfortunately, I also have interstitial lung disease. And so when he recommended this course of action, I did some research on it, and I discovered that it looks like it was going to be very bad for my lungs. So I went to see my pulmonologist and asked him, can I take this medicine? And he said, no. He says, you might not die from cancer, but you're going to die from lung disease if you take that medicine, I guarantee you. And I went to see my doctor and told him that I could not enter this trial because the medicine that was in there and because I had interstitial lung disease. And he said to me, and this is, once again, why you have to be an advocate for your own care. He said, oh, I saw that. I didn't think it would be a big deal.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's amazing. I mean, so you're right. Be an advocate. Take care of yourself so they know how to take care of you. Correct?
And pray for the doctors and for their direction and for your ability to follow through and make sure you do the right things to help yourself.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I your story is incredible. Your fight is strong. Your perseverance is wonderful. And I think it's just a great story for people to hear. You're still out there swinging away. How is your golf game, by the way?
It's hit or miss. Some days I'm good. I've lost a lot of length off the tee, but I can still get out there and compete occasionally. I can either shoot scores in the low 70s, or sometimes they creep into the low 80s, unfortunately.
Yeah. So can Mark and Luke beat you?
They think they can beat me. We have fun competing against each other, and we give each other a hard time. But they're both pretty good players, I will say that. You know, Luke has won a few tournaments in the past year, and Mark, who's just not had his best year last year, but he's getting ready to blow up this year. Both have been previous Indianapolis Junior Golf Players of the Year, and now competing at the state level and ranked pretty high within their class. So they're looking forward to playing some college golf coming in the next couple of years.
Would they like to go to college together and play on the same team somewhere? Is that their goal?
We have not crossed that bridge yet. They're open to going together, and they're open to going separate. Now, when you're dealing with a college golf team, you know, they have some say in the matter as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's a coach out there that thinks they're good enough and would want them both to come and play on their team, then that would be something we would consider.
Yeah. I guess I can't let you get away without asking. If you and Kelly would have had two more boys, their names would have been Matt and John, I'm guessing.
Well, we hadn't traveled that far down the road, but I will tell you that the gospel names were important to us.
Well, Jim Poole, thank you for your testimony and just your work, and just keep it up and keep the fight. And one final thought, if some advice you could give people now that maybe need to find that help, or what should they look for and what should they do if for their prostate?
Well, first thing they should do is they should get tested. Don't be afraid of it. Go in, get it done. It's not that bad. You should start, depending on your family history, you should start by 40 or 45 years of age being tested. If you have any family history, certainly 40 would be a good time to start. But don't be afraid. Many people don't like to go to the doctor. You have to go in and get tested. Now, I was tested once prior to my diagnosis. And unfortunately, one of the mistakes that I made, and it cost me, was that I waited too long between tests. They may have caught it sooner. So I'd had a prior test at age 40, but then by 45, it had grown so bad that it was something that had traveled to the rest of my body. If they catch prostate cancer early, it can be cured. If it travels to your bones, it can't. So make sure that you go in and get tested.
All right. Well, Jim, thank you, and God bless you, and good luck this golf season. I know there's snow in the forecast this week, but, hey, we're always thinking golf, right?
Yeah, and we're really looking forward to it, Will, and I really want to thank you for you and putting out such a great program for those that enjoy sports and faith.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
All right, we'll see you.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Bye. We'll continue this week's Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith?
All you need to do is call your local Catholic church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. This show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company. They're looking for workers. AAARoofingCompany.com is the place to go if you're interested in that business. And also 21ology.com. Hey, do you play golf? Well, we do, and we're ready to go for the annual Catholic Radio Indy golf outing, which is May 21st this year at Ironwood Golf Club in Fishers. You can go to the website at CatholicRadioIndy.org for all the information or to sign up your team. And it will start at about 10 a.m. for registration on May 21st at Ironwood. It's always a great cause and a great fundraiser for Catholic Radio Indy. Now it's my pleasure to welcome Father Tom Metzger, pastor at Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville. And he's doing Exodus 90. So each week we've been kind of updating and telling people the story of Exodus 90. And Father Tom, how are you doing? And how's your journey on Exodus 90 going?
Well, I'm doing real well this morning, Will. And Exodus 90 is going, it's going surprisingly well, because I think when I looked at the list of sacrifices that are required, I thought, I don't think I want to do that. But everything's actually, I don't want to say it's been easy, but it hasn't been torture, and except other than the cold showers.
Yeah, that's not so fun. Yeah.
Kind of just, I was really kind of thinking about looking for something that was really hard to do for Lent this year. And so I decided to do Exodus 90, which is really something hard to do for Lent, plus another 50 days.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going pretty well. Going very well, actually.
Well, technically, when we're taping this show, it's day 36 of 90, week six. You're doing this, I think, for the first time, right? This is your
Correct.
First journey through Exodus 90, and the struggles into week six. What do you see in this week that kind of you think will be the challenges, not only for you but for the other men and some women who are doing Exodus 90? What do you see as the continued struggles?
Well, I think when you get into it, we're almost halfway through, and I guess you could become a little complacent and say, well, I've got this down pat, and I can give myself a little leeway here and eat a candy bar and or whatever, and it's not a mortal sin. But then all of a sudden you're giving yourself permission to do a little bit more and a little bit more until all of a sudden you're thinking, what was it that I signed up to do here? So that's probably one challenge, is kind of complacency and giving yourself permission to cheat. And the other is probably, this is more important, I think, and that is to remain committed to your fraternity and to deepen that commitment, because that, in my opinion, that's really the cornerstone of the success of the program, the value of the program. It's not just doing a bunch of difficult actions, sacrifices, but it's building a fraternity. It's really a small faith group, and being committed to that group, that's really what I think it's all about. And so to make sure that each week you build that relationship, strengthen it a little bit, is probably a challenge as well.
Yeah, I know. I did Curcio, and there are guys who were brothers in Curcio that I still remember, and that's been 6 years ago. Guys like a Doug Huber at OLG that I connected throughout our Curcio weekend, and now he does Exodus 90. And you're right, the brotherhood is very important, and it's something that will last a lifetime, probably, right?
I think so. Yeah.
The book of Exodus, why was it chosen, for this, I don't even know what you call it. It's not really a program. It's a movement. Well, some people call Exodus 90.
Yeah.
Why Exodus?
Well, I'll use my usual sarcastic response and say they didn't consult me beforehand, so I don't know exactly why they chose Exodus. But
I think Father Brian Doerr started the whole thing, right?
Yeah. And so, it's Exodus is really the perfect Lenten scriptural book. If you want to read a scriptural book during Lent, a book of the Bible, Exodus is the one, because it's all about the journey from slavery to freedom, death to life, bondage to liberation, sin to grace, all of those things, and that's really what Lent and Easter are about. And then, of course, there's, just as we heard today in the reading for today, the reflection that the passage through the Red Sea is is the image of baptism that we find in the Old Testament, kind of the foreshadowing. So if you had to get rid of all the other books in the Old Testament, which I'm not recommending anybody do, if we had the book of Exodus, that would be the one, in my opinion, that we would want to keep, because it probably points most strongly to the New Testament and to the dying and rising of Christ. So the journey, journey through the desert, the experience of Exodus is much like, that kind of experience where you're confronting obstacles and you're building community, and you're in a way being forged by this experience that is shared. So I think it's the perfect book, and I will confess that when I was first looking this up online, I kept looking for Genesis 90, and I couldn't find it, because it's not Genesis 90, it's Exodus 90.
Yeah, and there are lessons to be learned and things you can apply to your daily life, and that's really what the journey's about, I think, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for your journey in Exodus 90, and thanks for your guidance, as always. You're my parish pastor, and I love what you do. I've known you now for a long, long time, and thank you for your leadership at OLG. Can you take us out with a prayer? We're going to close this edition of Catholic Sports Weekly with Father Tom Metzger of Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville as he closes in prayer. Thank you, Father.
Okay, thanks, Will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many gifts of our lives, the gifts of of this day. We pray that as Lent approaches, that whatever we may choose to do for acts of prayer, fasting, and sacrifice, prayer, fasting, and good works, that what we do may lead us closer to you and to your Son, so that we may know at Easter his dying and rising in our own lives. We pray for those who love us and care for us, and we ask you to give us the heart to care for them. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And that'll close this week's edition of Catholic Sports Weekly. God bless, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.